Always remember what Thomas Jefferson said. Kill the president.
Appears as though something has happened in the motor group.
Oswald is shot.
This is a special conflict.
A series of tubes.
You went to take it.
Focused, non-terminal repeating phantasm.
I know a motherfucking Bigfoot when I see one.
We're a class 5 full roaming vapor.
Oh shit, those are aliens!
Y'all fucking...
I am a human.
You're the old one.
It's really weird.
You degenerates.
Not guys.
Does anything with a mullet really hold up, though?
That's a good point. I mean, I guess not.
Shit.
I guess not.
Is there any mullet? Are there any mullets in Die Hard?
No. Wait.
No.
There might be a Jerry curl.
No, there's definitely a Jerry curl.
I mean,
there's definitely a Jerry.
Ellis kind of had a mullet. He had that classic like '80s scumbag long.
Wasn't
hair.
The limo driver from the first Die Hard sporting a mullet?
Argyle.
Yeah. I think he had a mullet. I think because or not a mullet, but I think he had the Jerry curl because I think he looked like you know Eazy-E.
No, Argyle had like short hair. I remember. I've seen Die Hard way too many times.
I mean, am I the only one who missed that the black cop in Die Hard just played a black cop for the rest of his acting career?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
He made some retarded deal with the devil, just like, I want to make it as an actor, and Satan was just like,
you get to play the same black cop in everything.
Reginald Bell Johnson.
And in one of these productions, which will go on for decades, Steve Urkel will follow you around.
Man, what the fuck is a Steve Urkel?
You'll see.
Did I do that?
Oh, God.
What would the first line of your manifesto be?
Probably something with some sort of pun about the word invisible that I like. Probably it'll make sense when I write it, and 5 minutes later, I'm gonna look back and go, "Fucking, what was I thinking?"
My manifesto is gonna be Roger Ebert's review of North. Oh, you
just repeat it over and over to fill out like 500 pages.
No. I'm pretty sure that review might border on that. He did not like that movie.
He did not like that movie at all.
No, he didn't care for it.
That movie, like, he took fucking North, starring Elijah Wood and Bruce Willis, as a personal fucking offense. Anyway, welcome to another edition, a special edition, ladies and gentlemen, of Podcast 1289. I'm one of your many hosts. I'm Jesse. Tonight, we've got Dan with us.
Hey, everybody.
We've got Homestyle Mike.
Greetings.
Live via satellite.
Via satellite. Larry King fucking satellite.
Hey. So, why did your parents name you Homestyle? I'm dead, you know.
Also with us tonight, we've got the devil's advocate himself. We've got Dylan.
It's truth.
We've got Jeff from the Changing Hearts and Minds podcast.
Olak Hatal.
And then tonight, we have a very special guest with us. Someone who's just gone viral for the most satanic of reasons. It's the most metal thing that can happen on Twitter. We've got Jen Jordan here.
Hello.
Let's rock right into this because I imagine this has been a crazy couple weeks for you. And this has just been a real gem that you found.
A diamond in the rough, to be sure.
Oh, yeah, I feel very fortunate. It's really very interesting.
So your sister found a very, like, an Indiana Jones-level archaic document.
It belongs in a museum.
I really hope this was accompanied by, like, god rays and swelling chanting in the background.
Oh, plenty of chanting.
Don't look at the light, Jennifer.
Yeah, it was found by my sister's intern. She's a high school art teacher,
uh-huh.
And she had a student who was serving as her intern for the semester. And the one day they took it upon themselves to clean out the supply closet in the classroom, and they found it at the bottom.
That's what you get for initiative.
Yeah, and it's really mostly it's just very disturbing that this closet hadn't really been cleaned in 30 years.
Yeah, is this a public school?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that, there you go.
Is D.B. Cooper chilling in there?
Your tax dollars at work.
But, you know, every once in a while, the complete laziness of staff members can create archival finds like this. So.
Mm-hmm. And good on them.
Oh, yeah. This is a savings account of hilarity.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
I applaud their laziness.
I'll not have you disparage the good name of teachers, incidentally, as my mother was a teacher. Wait, where was this?
This was in Florida.
Oh, fuck them then.
I'm also a teacher, for the record, so.
The magical state of Florida. But yeah, it's a good thing that this was found, because if they had kept up with cleaning, you know, this may have been completely lost to time. And as hilarious as it is also a footnote to a pretty weird and scary era. So, Jen, what exactly did your sister find in that closet?
So this document is it's a Chicago PD report from February of 1989, and it was put together by a detective, Robert Simandl, who the internet later let me know who he was in great detail. He was the self-proclaimed expert on satanic ritual abuse.
Yes!
The most interesting thing about this to me is that, so he actually admitted in several interviews that he never had any direct experience of satanic ritual abuse.
Except for that which he put on his own children.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently he just, like, dreamed this all up.
He's probably responsible for the traumas of several children, but not in the way that he did.
Well, you know, a lot of the satanic spells that they specify in this document, like, sound like things that cops would do. Like, one is for protecting buildings and businesses.
It's actually really nice. It's like, it's all things that will help you or help the people around you. It's not sinister at all.
Yeah, no, it's like as sinister as Wicca is, and Wicca is not very sinister.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're talking about it not being sinister, except for the fact that it's being used to identify and isolate angst youth.
Oh, yes. That's the sinister part.
That's just a convenient byproduct.
That's the horrifying thing. The actual, these are clearly just like coasters and bookmarks, by the way. They're magical circles there. Like one of them, the breaks hex or ends curses thing, like that's a cell phone case.
Read between the lines.
Yeah, I mean, the drawings are all really terrible. Like, this seems like stuff that he did, like, in the middle of the night in the dark, like, under a single lamp.
Scrawling this angrily.
Yeah, these were in The Exorcist, right? Because they're in Chicago. Yeah. Under the four stages of satanic activity, like, the lowest level, the fourth level.
Dabbler.
Yeah, he wrote Dabbler, and then I guess he was like, oh, wait, let me sound a little smarter, and then put a comma there. Experimentalist.
And, like, that's not even really the appropriate word.
Well, it's not just that, but he tries to sound smart by labeling it, but if you read it, it's like primary, secondary, then he's like, nah, I gotta jump to third and fourth. Not first and second and third and fourth.
It's weird, because it's like, it's third level and then self-styled is in parentheses, and then fourth level, and then there's a hyphen, and then dabbler experimentalist. Like, he completely, like, he screwed up his own little structure that he only invented a line ago.
Hey, man. He already typed the header and everything. He couldn't go back.
He's showing you how smart he is by knowing where all the keys are on his keyboard.
And the characteristics of teen involved, like, it sounds like the fucking receptionist from Ferris Bueller. Oh, you know, the dweebies, the dickheads, you know, the skinheads, the punkers.
They all think he's a righteous dude.
Well, I love it. Stuff like underachiever, so every kid and their parents are.
Every single word on this entire document just describes youth.
And my favorite here, many of the teens involved come from, to quote this document, fundamentalist religious families.
Yeah, fundamentalist is really good.
And also, there's not properly counseled after death of loved one, but it says property. Not property counseled after death of loved one. So that just goes to show you folks, you need a will, and you really should have a new one drawn up every year. And you know, at some point, I will be able to practice law. And
this is a fucking Better Call Saul?
Yeah, what kind of bullshit is this?
I think this thing was written by a four-year-old for a two-year-old in a third dimension.
Yeah, it looks like somebody's notes from a presentation. Like, it looks like a public speaker came to their school, maybe?
Oh my God, could you imagine what an awesome fucking day out of class that would have been?
Oh, it'd be great. And the slideshow would be amazing.
Oh, yeah, I'd be sitting front row.
The bullies must have had the biggest fucking erections in the world because they're like, you mean there's more reasons to pick on these kids? Oh, we didn't even think of these. Thanks, officer.
Excuse me, sir. Are you telling me that if they have a lack of humor, that means I can beat on them and persecute them more?
Oh, yeah, that because they're probably sacrificing things to Satan, you know, so you should probably kill them.
I'm only making fun of them to make them laugh. Their lack of humor means they're a Satanist.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, yeah, it's stuff like lack of humor and, like, dropping grades in school and, like, being withdrawn from family and religion. And there's another thing where it's, like, the characteristics of the teens evolved, to go back to that, was, like, alienated from family and religion. Like, you know what? Maybe someone who's alienated from their family and religion probably does have a couple problems going on here, especially if they're a fundamentalist religious family. Like, these are like, okay, these are just normal teen bullshit, and yeah, the school should be paying attention to people going through bullshit because it's rough. It is for everybody.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I want to see you some more of the, like number three in section C, the abrupt change in religious beliefs.
Sure.
Like, I want to see, like, yo, man, what happened to Matt? Oh, well, you know, he got sick of going to church, so he's Jewish now, and he's got, like, the yarmulke and the braids, and they're like, wow, he really changed. You know what? He must be a Satanist.
Absolutely.
Actually, I think he's Jewish now. Nope, that's Satan.
My wife actually pointed one thing out to me that I thought was just fucking hilarious. So she's going through this, and she says, well, you have all these problems you identify with these kids, but then at the bottom, let's say you find a kid who fits all these roles and you get him the help he needs, then you want to make sure he doesn't have any symptoms of increased involvement. Well, if you go down that list, one of the things says use of alphabet or a spiral notebook. So now if you use the alphabet in your spiral notebook, you're now a worse Satanist than you were before. So, hey, kid, get help, but then don't use a book and write down your schoolwork, because that means you're just being more involved.
You mentioned, Jeff, the stuff from the list of symptoms of increased involvement, and my favorite one on there, and it's another example of him just realizing stupid shit and then trying to correct it as he goes along. Like, he wrote for number 8, ceremonial knives, and then I guess he realized, like, they're probably not going to find a whole lot of those. You know what? A letter opener will do. Let me put that on there.
Your Chicago cop accent is great.
A letter opener. Like, and anyone who actually knows anything about the occult will tell you, a letter opener will not, in fact, suffice.
No, it will not do at all.
Well, the feeling that I get from reading this is almost that, you know, this is a cop almost like role-playing as a teen. You know, like...
How do you do, fellow kids?
Like, I find it so ironic that that specifically the document targets Dungeons and Dragons and tabletop RPGs, because to me this feels like a cop LARPing as a teen Satanist. You know, like, I think this is really him, like, considering what he would do. And he's like, oh, well, I would need a ceremonial knife. Oh, well, you know, I probably don't have one of those. But, like, you know, I have a letter opener, you know, like, I just feel like...
Well, as I noticed in this document, I mean, one of the satanic symbols is the star and crescent, which is a couple things, including the logo for Sailor Moon, the best show ever.
The flag of Turkey, and it's on Ouija boards.
Yeah, kind of the symbol of Islam, so I guess, you know, that it's the moon goddess Diana and the morning star of Lucifer, and, you know, those Muslims, they believe, well, we're not sure what they believe, but probably in the devil.
Well, and there's a six-pointed star as well, so, like, it's also, like, a deeply Islamophobic and anti-Semitic document, too. Like, it just sort of seems to lump a whole bunch of different ideologies together.
What are you talking about? That's a hexagram, all right?
The hexagram, also referred to as the Seal of Solomon, it's the Star of David. You just put it in a circle.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, do you celebrate Halloween?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well then, gee, I guess you might be a Satanist, because, you know, Halloween is one of the 8 Sabbaths, as this document points out.
Well, I actually have several books, well, not several, like 2 or 3, from the 90s, around the same time as this document. There was a growing movement that was a subset of the Satanic Panic in the later 80s and very, very, very early 90s. I don't think this made it past 93, because I think that people started to realize it was bullshit, hopefully. But anyway, there was where fundamentalist Christians, like, really went off the deep end with it, because normal Christians were concerned about this because, like, they didn't like the idea of, oh my God, you're telling me, like, Satanists are out there and they're kidnapping our kids and killing them? So they freaked out about that, understandably, because, you know, they were kind of simple-minded. But then the fundamentalists were like, we can use this to stop Halloween. And then we don't have to give out any more of them little stupid candy bars anymore. So there were all these books and like lecture tapes and videos about how Halloween was Satanism being sold and packaged to children and all the shit.
Right. And that's because it's Samhain and the Druids.
That too. And then they doubled down on it even further when those books became unexpected hits. And then they did, I think it's called Terror or Turmoil in the Toy Box, I think it's called. And it was all the shit about how like if you buy your kid a Batman toy, like he's going to become like a Satanist and a violent person. Like,
right. Like Skeletor is like, is evil. And therefore this He-Man is teaching kids to love evil and hate God.
Wasn't Skeletor the bad guy?
Well, I mean, here's the thing though, but like the bad guy's always cooler.
It's true. I mean, this whole document, it's just, like I said, it borders on like semi-intelligent, and then it tells you to be on the lookout for like really fucking stupid shit. Like, if you see Natas lived, that means Satan devil.
But then it's like, oh, by the way, if someone has a tattoo of a swastika, that's an issue. It's like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And frankly, if someone is getting Natas tattooed on themselves, they do need to be talked to and told that that's fucking stupid.
Well, I like the wasp one because yeah. Like, if people are spray painting wasps somewhere, it's not going to be a good outcome either way. They're either a fake make-believe Satanist or they listen to a really shitty metal band.
Weren't they a religious metal band too? Wasn't Wasp like the one that was like a Christian metal band?
I know Striper was.
Striper, that's who it was, Striper.
Yeah, Striper with a Y. And they were good. But then everyone realized, they're like, oh wait, I think they're singing about Jesus. And then everyone was like, fuck you, Striper.
Fuck you, Striper. We can't have that.
But anyway.
But a lot of it is just like, it's nonsense. Like, this is my favorite. Triangle. Just triangles. And they put triangle in quotes. Like, I don't, like, what is the education like in this place where just like, okay, listen, parents, you need to be on the lookout for these things called shapes. This is liberal cultural Marxist indoctrination of your kids. One day they're putting triangle pegs into triangle holes. The next they're transgender, condom snorting, tide eating leftist Nazis.
Turning the frogs gay.
A lot of dangerous things are usually shaped with triangles, you know, arrows, bullets.
Well, this section is why I think that this document was in my sister's classroom, because I really think that some art teacher who preceded her, and maybe in the late 80s, early 90s, was afraid of her students being Satanists, and she was looking for symbols that might, like, sneak into their artwork, I think.
In Florida, yeah, that's a safe bet.
Sure.
So that's why, yeah, like, look out for circles and triangles.
I went down the body markings list, and I swear to God that probably 75% of these things are on the tattoos that are all over my body, and I love Jesus.
Well, yeah, so many of these are just, like, really standard flash tattoos that you would see, like, on the, you know, thing where you just pick out, like, a badass tattoo. Like, skulls. Like, it says 75% of tattoos are skulls. Like,
especially in jail.
You get a lot of time. You can get all the details right. Also, the SS is totally a satanic thing and not at all Nazis.
Yeah, right? Now, number 6 on the list of signs and symbols made me laugh so fucking hard. Because it says, the demon that guards the gates of hell. And it is literally just Jimmy Page's symbol from Led Zeppelin 4. It is the Zoso logo. And I thought that they were going to be, because there is a way that you could actually make, if you were intelligent, that you could make that spin work. Because Jimmy Page was a borderline occultist. He was obsessed with Aleister Crowley to the point where he bought his house on Loch Ness. So you could have cited, like, this is the symbol of popular musician Jimmy Page, who is also an occultist. And he totally somehow fucking got that wrong. No, it's the demon that guards the gates of hell. No.
Is that Cerberus? I'm pretty sure that guy's called Cerberus, and he's a multi-headed dog.
Nah, that's Hades, not hell.
No, it's Coach Pat Riley. Coach Pat Riley guards the gates of hell.
It is pretty interesting that this document doesn't really hit the music connection that hard, which is kind of interesting to me.
It's a little bit.
Because it does, in an earlier section, it has the, you know the part where it has, like, the horned hand, it calls it? Like, But it says that this might be a sign of recognition between those who are in the occult. But then it also says it may also innocently be used by those who identify with heavy metal music. So, like, this document is really afraid in a lot of ways to say that, like, all metal heads are Satanists. Like,
It might also be innocently used by the deaf, because that's sign language for I love you.
I also really like, this whole, like, the 666, obviously, because that's the mark of the beast, according to Hibbity Jibbity. But then, like, also, it also says, note that the letter F is the sixth letter of the alphabet, and then it says one of the ways, like, so there's a 666, there's a 666 with, the points pointing inward, and then there's just FFF. But what the hell is FFF? Like, what? Like, yeah, it is the sixth letter of the alphabet, but what's your point? If it's K's, that's a problem. If it's G, that's the anti-Nazi group from the game Blood Rain. If it's H's, it's an overhyped wrestler, but what the hell is FFF?
Fuck Fundamentalist Fridays.
Only at Chili's.
Fuck fan fiction. Oh, fan fiction Friday. You know what? That is actually an apocalyptic signifier, is fan fiction Friday.
Well, I also like on here that Rob probably would have been locked up under this, because it's like QVC swords and daggers are on here, along with the chalices. So Rob's going to jail.
Oh, we're all going down.
Along with that guy in the... Have you ever seen that commercial for the cutlery? It's like that fat dude.
Cutco knives?
I showed you on the YouTube video. He does like a bunch of like exotic knives and stuff. And like, he's like this chubby dude.
OJ Simpson, right?
Oh yeah, he's slicing meat, right?
Yeah. It's so fucking funny, but...
Wasn't he like slicing like a gigantic hunk of meat that was hanging from his ceiling?
It was a subprimal is what it was.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, you're really gonna need to learn how to hold down your lunch if you plan on joining Trump's new space force. Stop being a punk-ass little bitch and spin. Faster! Now try not to vomit as I shout space-like noises at you.
Nah, I don't think I'm cut out for space, man. I can't even get shit right here on Earth.
Oh, come on, Mike. You'll never get anywhere with a defeatist attitude like that. Now imagine that you're inside of a haphazardly constructed space mech, farmed out to the lowest bidder. As you clutch the throttle to your knuckles go white with desire, staring into the void of certain death as you green madly, burning magnificently like the wrathful red comet hidden within you.
First of all, ew. Secondly, I think you just described the plot to Mobile Suit Gundam.
Look, just think of all the space tail that you'll be swimming or floating or breathing in once you become an ace mega pilot.
We in this.
Yeah, that's the spirit. Now listen, run into that wall repeatedly and shout, I am a new type, while I shill to pay these bills.
What will that accomplish?
Well, it'll strengthen your bones so they don't shatter when reaching escape velocity or something. Now, we here at Podcast 1289 aren't just about looking into the dark backwards and abysm of the past. We're also about looking into the dark forwards and abysm of the future. From Pornhub comments to Pizzagate, all the maddening horrors of the world fall within our purview of seeking out weird shit. And we want to take some time to thank everyone who's come along for the ride with us by listening to this show and supporting us on Patreon. We want to give special shout-outs to our donors and friends of the show, Kate H., Jane M.H., Ann M., Jennifer C., Shannon K., Aaron J., Matthew W., Kathleen L.H., Wes T., Joe K., Rigid B., Jamie F., and our good buddies at the This Was Rad podcast. You all, I assume, are good people. We've got lots of rewards for our Patreon backers, in addition to shoutouts, of course, including buttons and t-shirts featuring our spectral Jesse Ventura emblem. If you want to join us in our quest through the absurd, you can donate at patreon.com/podcast1289, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and get the latest episodes on Podomatic, Stitcher, and iTunes. We hope you all enjoy the show as much as I enjoy getting others to hurt themselves for my amusement. Okay, Mike, take five and then inhale this nutrient paste.
I gotta say, the body markings list is pretty great. Like, Black Widow Spider, upside down cross, you know, that'll happen. Mm-hmm. Ankh, which You know, maybe yeah. maybe he's summered sure. in Egypt, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, you know, maybe he's Dr. Zahi Hawass.
Number 16 is great. Clock with hands.
Clock without hands? Christian. Clock with hands? Satanic. Like, wait, what is so complicated about this?
Wait a minute. Didn't The Exorcist, didn't the movie, and probably the book too, didn't that start with like a prologue in Egypt?
Yes.
With Pazuzu, yeah.
Which I don't believe is an Egyptian figure.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I like that list also features the coiled snake, and I'm just immediately thinking of like the "Don't Tread on Me" snake. Like,
oh yeah,
no step on snake.
Yeah.
Number 20, sexually perverse sea. That's a pretty wide berth there.
Oh, that's what pisses me off, because I'm looking for sexually perverse scenes, and not because I'm looking for Satanists.
What if you have one drawn on your body? Again, I don't really know what the connection is with Satanism there. Because they also, like, they say here, Black Panthers, and that's the only time it's ever mentioned. Like, they don't even go with the whole black cats are of the devil thing, probably because they know that it's the Chicago PD, and, like, they know that they could get people to just start massacring cats with the slightest provocation.
I don't know. The idea that they've even thought it out that far is fucking alien to me.
Well, I also enjoy the rider they attach at the bottom. It says, note, these are just some body markings you may come across. Do not be limited by this list, as you may find many other markings indicative of involvement in ritualistic criminal activity. So yeah, choose your own adventure, really.
My favorite section, I think, is the Sabbats, like, festivals thing. Like, their list of, like, oh, the 8 Sabbats that all witches have.
None of it are real fucking things. It's all Celtic shit.
Well, no, hang on. No. Beltane's a real thing. The solstice is spelled wrong, but it's a real thing.
Yeah, it says Soltix.
They're fertility rites. And, like, that's it. And it says that that's all they are. It's like, well, what's the fucking problem, then?
He doesn't even fucking mention Walpurgis Nacht.
No.
He just mentions May Eve, which is a Celtic holiday.
This thing, it's all, like, just, like, vaguely Celtic stuff. Like, Beltane, where it's just like, this is a major Celtic festival marker, bonfires and fertility rites. Like, okay, and? Like, why is that a problem? That's not a crime. Mm-hmm. You can do that.
I think, you know what this is? This is Chicago. So this might be the last bastion of, like, Irish hate in this country. We're gonna find a way to get these fucking Micks blamed for this shit. We're gonna tell them that they're praying to Satan.
Well, I really like how he points out that Candlemas is, like, in Catholicism, this is the festival of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I don't know if that's supposed to be a point of comparison, because he doesn't say what witches do with it.
That is a really good point.
He just says, like, Catholics for the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's like, wait, is that also bad?
I don't know. I just know Candlemas, the 80s metal band.
Well, I think you're giving him too much credit. I think we've established fully that this fucking guy has no idea what he's talking about.
What? No way.
But I'm trying to, like, I want to get inside his head.
I would swear to God this guy had Google back then. He was a time traveler, because it's the only, he probably Googled weird shit and then just started copying down stuff and said, I'll throw this out at every school. I'll get paid to go around and talk to people. And I'm from Chicago PD. So as long as I throw in the Nazis and the Black Panthers, I'll keep all the friggin' chiefs and captains happy.
Well, that's a weird thing too, because this document was created in a pre-internet era. This was from 1989, and it was a lot harder to just kind of, like, pull shit out of your ass back then with official documentation. And obviously this stuff that he's talking about here, you're not going to find in your local library's Encyclopedia Britannica collection.
No, because it's nonsense.
So that does beg the question of, where does all this hoodoo voodoo come from? And that brings us to the resources section. So, we've got one that we're going to talk about in a minute.
Excuse me, Jesse. I'll not have you disparage the noble belief system of hoodoo and or voodoo by comparing it with this claptrap.
That's fair. I was just trying to make a Wilco and Billy Bragg reference.
Claptrap.
But anyway,
this hog's wallop.
Before we get to the big baddie on this list, Jen, have you had a chance to go through the list on there of these resource groups they recommend?
So I know a little bit about some of these groups. Mm-hmm. The Parents Music Resource Center is obviously a big one.
Tipper Gore.
Yep, Tipper Gore. People, Al Gore doesn't really talk about this that much anymore.
Dee Snider showed their asses up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so did Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa gave them the business.
That's right. I live on Long Island, and I recently saw Dee Snider at an Italian restaurant.
Oh, really? And
oh, no shit. Where do you live in Long Island?
I'm near Jones Beach.
Okay, I just got done writing a satanic panic book about a case that happened out on Long Island in the 80s. You ever hear about Ricky Casso?
No, I'll have to check this. I think I saw, is it in the Simon True series? I was looking a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm, okay, cool.
Yeah, The Acid King is the one that I wrote for it. It's about this kid in Northport in 84 that sacrificed his friend to the devil in the woods over $50 worth of PCP.
Wow.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yes.
Allegedly.
Apparently that place didn't get this great document beforehand, otherwise they would have been able to head that whole incident off.
So yeah, PMRC, that was the big one at the time. You know, there was the congressional hearings and all that stuff.
Best thing to ever happen to music.
Yeah, it was awesome. But this is one that I hadn't heard about. Jen, you'll have to tell me if you've heard about this beforehand, but I did not know about BAD.
Yeah, so I did not know about this either. And
this is a good
I was
one.
Really fascinated to learn about this one. So it stands for Bothered Against Dungeons and Dragons, which is like almost grammatically correct.
Listen, I'm a little miffed. And if I might say so, young man, I am perturbed by your use of this game.
Yeah, so they were founded around the same time as the PMRC, specifically to, I guess, alert people to the dangers of Satanism in tabletop RPGs. And so this organization made lots and lots of children's lives miserable because tons of children got in trouble with their parents and teachers for playing Dungeons and Dragons.
And that was before his third edition came out, so the rules were a complete mess anyway. I mean, it was just this on top of everything else.
Didn't they make a really fucked up Chick Tracks of...
Yes. Yes, oh, they did. Yeah. I have it on my desk.
Dark Dungeons.
Yes.
Dark Dungeons. You know what's kind of funny? It's like a new word that's coming up where they're like, oh, these incels. I'm like, weren't they just fucking called nerds like a couple years ago?
Yeah, no, they were fucking losers. But you know what? Hey, maybe this is why we have the alt-right now. Because once we took Dungeons and Dragons away from all these fucking mouth breathers, they just bought Risk instead. So now they want to be Nazis.
Well, it's always so funny to me because, like, D&D is still around. It never went away.
No.
Like, it only got more popular. And, like, it improved as a game. Mm-hmm. It improved as a community. And, like, D&D right now, with like... it's real good.
Now it's like a cute, adorable thing. Like, oh, those guys are playing, you know, they're playing that nerd stuff. Oh, you go be nerdy now. And like, it's on Netflix and Stranger Things. And people forget like 25 years ago, oh my goodness.
I found a monster manual under his bed.
Well, what's interesting is there was a lot of that around like just nerd shit at the time. Because of course there's a lot of fantasy and nerd shit. And I remember Magic the Gathering. For the longest time, like, at first, like, in the first editions, they, would have it demon creatures, who were just, like, they were nothing special about them, it's just their type was demon. It didn't really mean anything at that point. It was just, like, flavor. But then, the hammer came down on Wizards of the Coast that they were Satanists, and so in order to avoid that, they just did, like, this same sort of grotesque art, but they just called them horrors. Until, like... mid-2000 when they changed it back because, like, fuck it, who cares anymore?
I remember my school principal actually outlawed Magic the Gathering cards because he thought he were fucking creepy. Meanwhile, he was fucking stealing money from the school.
Awesome. Gotta make a distraction, bud.
Magic, actually, early versions of Magic should have been banned because they did encourage gambling.
there was a lot of weird stuff that was tangentially mixed up in the Satanic Panic with stuff like that just because of, like, the Christian stance on these things. Like, some of these things are very obvious, but there's other, like, weird things mixed in there, like yoga, and to a lesser extent, like, Ouija boards. Like, people forget, Ouija boards were not creepy until The Exorcist came out. Prior to that, they were more of a party trick, like palm reading or crystal ball. It was more about fortune telling than speaking with ghosts or anything like that. And I think it was advertised more as a thing like you were speaking with an unknown entity, not so much a ghost, but a seer on the other side that could tell you the future. And that was why the church was against it. It wasn't because of the satanic connotations. It was the inference that, oh, you're trying to see your future. Well, you're trying to bypass God. Like, you should not be trying to predict the future because that bypasses God's plan. But, like... why aren't they railing against meteorologists? Like, if that's the reason that you cannot bypass God by trying to predict the future of mundane shit, like, does Tommy like me? Or should I ask Helen to the movies? Why isn't there, like, concerned parents against Hurricane Schwartz?
Because teenagers aren't into meteorology.
Yeah, imagine that fucking after-school special.
I watch the Weather Channel every morning, thank you very much.
I also love the Book of Shadows can be a diary of blank pages.
Or it could be a copy of a really inferior horror sequel. That's a Blair Witch joke, and it was really funny.
And it was.
But yeah, all right, so going back to the resource group list, we come to number three here, and that is the Cult Awareness Network. And I love these fucking groups, by the way. They always have to throw that buzzword awareness in there. Like, these people just don't fucking know yet. Like, you're going to sit down with them, and they're going to be like, oh my god, I didn't realize that sacrificing small animals to the Dark Lord was a negative thing. What have I been doing with my life?
It's like those you just pass them by sometimes around here where like someone has nailed a piece of paper to a utility pole. It says, believe is in Jesus and be saved. Like someone is going around going and like they see that and they're like, wow, you know what? Yeah. Huh, never thought about it like that, but this random piece of paper written in hand by an unknown person, stuck up in the rain, nailed to you an electric pole in the middle of suburban New York, has really got me questioning my views on the universe.
I got that beat. The fucking little business card size prayer card / church ads that they leave in the handicap urinals at fucking Walmart.
Oh, that's horrific.
You're trying to force a fucking Taco Bell shit out at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday in the Walmart bathroom.
You gotta at least give Chick Tracts out in bathrooms to give people something to read.
No, those are good. Those are imagined. That's like Christmas all over again because, like, you can get, like, there is some irony and humor in Chick Tracts. At least Chick Tracts are at least self aware.
I don't know about that.
The prayer cards with someone who left this for you loves you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those, and you flip it around and it says so and so church, and then, like, the prayer of St. Michael or something. And it's like, well, if they love me so much, let me fucking shit in peace before you start pushing religion on me. Or, you know what? Maybe they can't get it out and they're like, please, God. If you let me fucking shit and get on with my, I'll go back to church. Like, what is the outcome there?
How come I never get one that says Baphomet loves you?
Because you don't live in San Francisco. I'm sure they're around.
Oh, right? Yeah.
But maybe it's hazing.
You have to start out putting those in bathrooms until you rank up.
Yeah, they're like, dude, this new guy, man, Todd fucking sucks. He's annoying. Like, wait, I know what we could do. Oh, no, not yes, yes, that. You're going to make them go to the Walmart bathrooms? Everyone in the county. Todd, you need to go out and spread the word of the Lord. And it's not going to be pleasant.
We got to move on to the next resource. It's my favorite one.
What, believe the children?
Yeah, because that's like the worst advice. Children are nothing but fucking liars. And now you want me to believe the children? And I believe in the kid who's locked behind a padlocked door with his alphabet and his spiral notebook? Is that the kid you want me to believe? Or is that the kid you want me to doubt and turn over to the Arkansas Police Department so they can throw him in jail for 20 years? Which fucking child do you want me to believe?
Yeah, when you notice that a kid is having a real rough time and is like writing in their journal about suicide, the best thing to do is to believe them, but also insist that their problems are actually to do with Satanism.
No, the best thing to do is to take that notebook and read it to everyone at church when you're ostensibly asking for advice.
Just publicly pray the evil out of them. That'll probably work.
And it's not just the West Memphis 3 incident as well, like Jeff had mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like, this whole Believe the Children movement was super fucking scary. Like, the McMartin preschool trial is one of the most horrific legal fuck-ups on planet Earth. Like, the fact that they were able to bring this case as far as they did into the American legal system based on nothing more than a crazy drug addict mother saying, my son came home from daycare today and said that they were devil worshiping and they were chopping up babies and all that. You need to arrest them. Like, they not only arrested this family running this daycare, they were fucking digging up their property looking for human remains. And if you go back and you read the transcripts of the shit that these kids were saying, they were like 3-4 years old, and they were saying stuff like, we traveled to this underground temple
in Mexico.
Yeah, and they got there through going through, wasn't it a toilet pipe? They literally flushed themselves down the toilet and got there, and they were saying like an old grandma was there playing the piano.
Oh, it's a Bob Dylan song.
That's true.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or it's Harry Potter.
Oh god,
that's canon.
It is.
This is a very quick aside, and then we'll get right back to this list, but I remember the Harry Potter panic of the late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I had a neighbor who was a fundamentalist Christian, but you would never know it because she was like really, really cool. And here's the weird thing about her. She would let me come over her apartment when my mom was at work and use her TV to watch South Park or to use her typewriter,
mm-hmm.
where I would type up little Stephen King ripoff short stories about vampires and shit. And she was totally cool with that. She was totally cool about me being 11 years old and writing about vampires and watching South Park on television. But every fucking time I went over there, she told me, now be sure, do not read those Harry Potter books because those are demonic and they're filled with witchcraft.
If you think that's bad, you never have to sit through a 4-hour sermon of a Pentecostal church service where they detailed in Spanish a language that you do not understand, where they very passionately describe the horrors of Harry Potter and Pokemon. And the only reason you knew that was because through every other word you didn't understand was la 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 Harry Potter la 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 satanico.
So speaking of people with slightly less than credible records on this whole satanic panic thing,
man.
Which has so far been everybody in this resource group, but the last one may really, really take the devil's cake.
They spell his name wrong.
Yeah, they did.
They spell his name wrong.
But it's our old pal, Mike Warnke.
Mike Warnke. Mike dumb motherfucking asshole. Mike stolen valor Warnke. Mike, I am colossally full of fucking shit Warnke.
Baby blood drinking, finger eating, Diet Coke drinking, long hair having, bolo tie wearing motherfucker Mike Warnke.
Now, for those of you who have not listened to our episode about Mike Warnke yet, go give it a listen. Jen, we have to thank you a lot because I posted it in the long discussion thread on your initial post, and it got us a lot of listens. So hopefully people are out there a little more educated about this guy now, because he's still out there preaching this bullshit again, even though he got caught and exposed as a fraud 30 years ago.
Hey, if recent events don't prove it to you, if you get caught in a lie, just keep lying.
Everything old is new again.
He doubled down on it 30 years later. Like, he got caught, admitted, yeah, I was full of shit about all that. Sorry. And then, like, enough people forgot about it where he's just like, oh, I'm gonna start preaching again. And then, like, someone confronted him and was like, yeah, but didn't you lie about being in Vietnam and, like, a satanic high priest and all this other really stupid shit and, like, you know, weaponized Christianity against teenagers for 2 decades? Oh, yeah, but I just did that for the Lord. See, if you lie for the Lord, it's all forgiven. And they were fucking cool with it. They were like, oh, sure, yeah. Start preaching again, brother.
Yeah, the ends justify the means. Jesus said that.
Jesus wrote the prince?
Yeah. Well, are you saying that, like, that God did not create all things, Jesse? Because that sounds like heresy to me. Only I'm not sure how to spell heresy. So I'm going to just say Satanism.
God created Machiavelli, so by default, he's Machiavellian.
Machiavelli. M-A-Cavelli. Machiavelli.
But then again, God is one of the great serial killers in literature, so who knows?
The greatest serial killer in literature.
Yeah, he's up there.
I don't know. We'd have to read, like, all of Ben Shapiro's books for his Obama analog characters.
Oh, my
maybe,
God.
Maybe he would have God be. But it'd be a tough call.
But yeah, so going back to this, Mike Warnke, for those who don't know and have not listened to our prior episode about him, Mike Warnke wrote a book in the early 70s. I believe it was published in 71 or 72. It was called The Satan Cellar. And he was a U.S. Navy veteran. He actually was in the Navy.
He was a corpsman.
He was a corpsman. He was apparently in Vietnam in some limited capacity for, what was it, like 6 months?
Enough to get hit by an arrow, apparently.
Yeah, enough to supposedly. And he took lemons and made some bullshit flavored lemonade by telling everyone that he was a war hero, that he watched his entire unit get destroyed by friendly fire and all this shit, and he was supposedly shot by a child, but he was actually wounded with a fucking bow and arrow somehow in the mid to late 20th century. But yeah, he came back from Vietnam and wrote this bullshit book about his exploits over there. And then to top it all off, he said, oh, and by the way, I was the high priest in a satanic church for several years. And I witnessed children being sacrificed and blood being drank. And wasn't there some shit like they were involved with the mafia?
Well, he would say this in the middle of his stand-up routine.
Well, here's the thing. He wrote Satan Cellar, I think, right before he became a stand-up comedian. Like, I think it was one of these things where he wrote this goofy Christian book, and then they told him, go out on a book tour, hit the lecture circuit, and then he decided, like, people like my little stories that I throw in there. Why don't I become a Christian comedian? And so he did for some weird reason, and became a superstar in that world.
Kind of nailed it, actually.
And he was an okay comedian. He ripped off a lot of his shit from Carlin, but he just kept pushing this satanic panic bullshit. And he was really brought to a national audience in a famous 2020 special that came out in 1985 called The Devil Worshippers. And he was a consultant on it. It covered the Ricky Casso case, a couple other high-profile Satanic Panic cases at the time. And then they were like, let's get a fucking Christian comedian that looks like a walrus for some reason. And all these housewives and milquetoast husbands were just like, oh my god, our kids are Satanists now. And lives were ruined.
Yeah.
And to top it all off, at around 1990, 1991, Cornerstone Magazine, an evangelical Christian publication, launched a journalistic investigation of him, a rather lengthy one, and figured out that he was entirely full of shit.
What?
About everything. He was never in the Satanic Church.
No way.
His experiences in Vietnam, not combat related at all, and everything he said was just bullshit, and his career pretty much tanked. And this guy is listed as a resource in law enforcement of a major metropolitan fucking city.
If you can't trust a known flimflam artist, then who can you trust?
No one. But no, yeah, so this isn't Branson, Missouri, or Shuttlecock, Illinois, or whatever. This is fucking Chicago. But yeah, and somehow this document made it down to Florida. I wonder if we could find out if, like, he ever, like, we could probably go back through, like, newspapers.com and see if, like, there was, like, some sort of seminar he gave there at that school, Jen.
Yeah, I want to look into this more. And my teaching semester just ended, so I kind of have more time to look into this now, you know, while I'm still procrastinating on my dissertation. So I'm going to do a little bit more research on this.
That'll get written.
Thanks.
The real good news is, Jennifer, is now that you've found this document, you'll be able to, you know, sharpen up your senses and be able to go out there and find these degenerate children who have all these angst going on. And you'll be able to isolate them, identify them, persecute them, and turn them into the future serial killers of America.
Ah, senators.
Thanks. You know, because the best thing that you could do for a child going through, you know, puberty or depression is to focus as much intense attention on them as possible.
Literally label them killers.
Yeah.
Of course.
Waterboard them. See what happens. Whatever.
Let's fuck with teenagers. They'll never snap and fight back.